Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Futures from the soft red winter wheat pit were lower on the day. A settlement price in the March at $7.81 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. July futures at $7.95 and a quarter, 2 cents lower on the afternoon. The hard red in Kansas City settled $8.50 and 3/4. That's actually a last trade. It was 8 1/2 cents lower as it closed. Back in the corn pit from Chicago, and these are closes and not settlement prices. March futures at $7.24, down 7 1/4 on the last trade. May futures 7.24 1/2, 6 3/4 lower. And July corn at 7.17 1/4, down 4 cents. December of next year, $5.87 1/4, a nickel lower. The March of 2014 at $5.96, down 6 1/4. March soybean futures in Chicago, settlement price $14.30 1/4, down 6 1/4. May futures settled 6 1/2 lower at $14.14 3/4, and July beans at $14.06 a bushel, down 6 3/4. August 17, rather, $13.79 1/2, down 6 1/2, and November beans at $12.85 1/4, down 11 3/4. January contract of next year at $12.91 1/2, a settlement price down 11 3/4. Bean meal at $4.14, down $5.10. Bean oil at $51.49, up 18 cents on the afternoon. February live cattle at $126.60, up $1.92 1/2. April's up $1.82 1/2 at $1.3087 1/2. January feeders at $144.40, down $2.67 1/2. The March off $2.37 1/2, and lean hog settled at $88.07 1/2 in the April, up 65 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. This is the closing market report. It is the 17th day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from CGB in Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker for a Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, no, well, actually, you're not in Mandeville at the moment. Somewhere, I suppose, on Interstate 10, hopefully pulled over to the side of the road.
Off the road, but I am on I-10 just outside of Lake Charles.
And you're headed for home in Texas.
Yes, I am for a long weekend.
Well, I hope you have a good weekend. That tells us, of course, that Monday the trade will not be open. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day and a holiday in the trade. But we need to talk about what's been happening since USDA's reports last Friday and how you viewed those and what they did to the marketplace in terms of the charts. What did you see?
Well, of course, the big news out of the report was the implied feed disappearance number on the corn balance sheet. So that kind of set the stages for a big run-up there on Friday. And that basically followed through the whole week here. We had a good day up on Monday, and then soybeans kind of caught the uplift. So all three commodities have been basically, you know, that's been a key driving force, which showed, you know, a very strong feed usage disappearance number. And even though USDA was able to take a couple hundred million out of exports and 50 million out of ending stocks and I think 50 million out of something else to increase feed usage to 300, the implied number says that maybe overall feed usage could be up another 200 to 300 now. That's all implied. That December 1 stocks number could be off 100 or 200 million, I think, pretty easy. And then, you know, we'll get verification of a stronger feed usage number or negated anyway, maybe on the March report. But until then, the trade has to wrestle with this idea that the corn market has to move to a level to get somebody to blink on the usage side.
A level that we're at this point in the nearby options at 7.24 1/2, or does it need to go higher in your opinion?
Well, you saw that the ethanol grind backed off quite a bit last week, so the ethanol people are under pressure. They have very poor margins, if not negative, depending upon their efficiency. So we are seeing some rationing maybe take place in ethanol. It's going to be real difficult, I think, to see it happen in the livestock sector, but we'll see how high corn goes. Initially, I think, you know, corn has a strong tendency to retrace 50% of its previous move. If you take 50% of the decline that we had off of our late summer, early fall high down to this early January low, a return of 50% would take us back to the 760 area. So I guess from a technical perspective, I think that's what a lot of your chart people are probably going to play for, is a move in March corn futures back to this 750, 760 area, and then we'll see at that point in time whether or not we need to go higher.
Will that take us through most of the month of February, you think?
Well, that could very well. I mean, I think from a cyclical point of view, the market should be good into middle February. Maybe it could go on into March. Unfortunately, new crop beast may not come along with it.
That was my next question.
there's no doubt that diesel is ain't going to go in the total opposite direction. It could lift diesel corn futures maybe up above the $6 mark. I think in order to go much above that, you're going to have to change the perception of what new crop prospects could be. And, you know, at the moment, everybody's looking for a big corn acre planting, 99 million or so. Now, it's all debatable about what the yield potential is. Even if you use something around 157, it does produce a pretty big crop if we have favorable weather. But we've seen good crops turn sour before. So, but I do think that as long as it's perceived that we're going to raise a big crop next year, new crop corn is going to probably struggle, at least in this atmosphere.
Struggle, but do you think that the market will try to hold it long enough to ensure that plantings happen and crop insurance puts farmers' minds at ease?
I'm hoping, I think it could hold together, you know, in this 580 to 610 range, I suppose. I don't know if I'd want to expect a whole lot more than that at this point. A lot of it, I think, will depend, too, upon what happens in the South America crop over the next couple of weeks. Everybody's kind of focused on the dryness in Argentina for the next 7 to 10 days. Some of your longer-range models are wanting to break up the ridge after the 10-day window. If South America would turn real favorable, they would get some real good rains in there, that could pressure new crop November soybean futures sharply lower, and that might take corn with it. So, but I think at the moment, though, when I look at it from a cyclical and a technical perspective, I think there's some room in here for the market to try to run for a month or so. Maybe into March, early spring. But I am in the opinion that whatever kind of strength that we do get in here between now and whatever point that date is probably selling opportunities, because I do think that the market is real vulnerable to some downside pressure as we go on into the summer months.
Honestly, Dan, the cynic in me tells me that if I'm an end user that bidding up for new crop is probably a good deal, because most producers wouldn't make a sale or that many sales up front. And if we produce a really big crop, I just ensured that the acreage will be there and I could buy it at a lower price.
Oh, I think so. but I don't know how much lower. I mean, you know, we're always speculating, and I think the weather pattern is such that it wouldn't surprise me to have another dry year. I went back and reviewed some of my long-term weather cycles, the 100-year cycle and the 500-year cycle, and it wouldn't surprise me when you take into account the active sunspot activity that we have going on here in 2013 that we could be in for another warm and dry summer. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be us here in the Eastern Corn Belt. Maybe it's going to be the Western Corn Belt's turn, because that seems to be where the dryness is right now. So I would not rule out summer weather problems, even though it's kind of hard to bet on, you know, 3 years in a row.
Dan, you have a safe trip to Waco. Say hello to Teresa for me, and we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.